Last week, the City of Tucson's Equal Opportunity Office staged something downtown called the Living Library. Its purpose is to promote better understanding within Tucson's diverse population. Much like a traditional library, the Living Library offers a chance to learn about different experiences, ideas, and lifestyles, but through people instead of books. Laura Markowitz participated in the Living Library, and she brings us this story.
Last Wednesday afternoon, in a bright yellow tent in front of Tucson's main library, 20 volunteers waited for the Living Library to open its metaphoric doors. There's no Dewey Decimal System for the Living Library. There are no library cards. And most notably, there are no books in this library. The books in a living library are people. People who are willing to be borrowed by curious strangers for 30 minutes to answer questions, tell their own stories, and serve as references. Speaking above the wind, organizer Leandra Price, a specialist in the City of Tucson's Equal Opportunity Office, explained what was about to happen.
As books, you are just asked to engage in a dialogue with someone who literally comes to this library and checks you out. It started in Denmark, where a group of young people were impacted by a stabbing of one of their friends. They brought young people together to have a dialogue about what's the underlying cause of people reacting in that way. What is it that pushes your button? What is it that makes you afraid? What are your biases and why do you have them? And that's how the Living Library began.
The hope behind the Living Library is that giving people a safe and respectful space to ask ignorant, curious, and even slightly embarrassing questions will promote authentic dialogue and create understanding and reduce prejudice.
International rules for readers is that the readers will take care of the books. They will not harm the books in any way. They will not damage their dignity in any way. The books are to be returned to the Living Library in the condition that they were checked out. You know, I want everybody to be safe. I want everybody to feel comfortable in this environment. But I also want people to be able to have a conversation about some things that might be a little edgy for them or that might be a little difficult for them. And, you know, if you don't think that the reader is really asking, you know, the hard questions or you feel that there's something that they really want to ask and you're comfortable with doing that, take them there. Now, if in the event that the conversation is really going well and no one has you on reserve, you can get renewed. I'm excited about this, you guys, so we'll see how it goes.
If the Living Library books had been shelved in a real library, few of them would have been put in the same section. The topics were all over the place.
I'm Phil Bossenbrook, and my book is Living a Second Life, Living with the Diagnosis of AIDS.
My name's Vicki Riza, and I'm a captain with the Tucson Police Department. And my book is Women in Non-Traditional Work Environment.
My name is Christian Mutamba. I'm from Africa. I've been here for about 20 years. And the title of my book is There Any Hope for Africa?
I'm Ron Austin, and my book is The Long Road from Homelessness and Addiction.
I'm Ron Lewis. I'm actually the Director of General Services for the city. City official, fair target or real person?
My name's Laurel Heather Milden, and my book is called Somewhere Over the Rainbow, Questions You Wanted to Ask a Lesbian But Were Afraid to Ask.
My name is Jean Einfrank. My book title is Ostracized at 8. My story of growing up as a young Jewish boy in the barrio.
People started to trickle into the tent and browse through the catalog of book descriptions. Price had sent an email to all city and county employees inviting them to participate. An aide to a city council member even came on her day off. Passersby were curious about what was going on. Some of them lingered near the sign and read about the Living Library, and many stayed to check out books. It soon became clear that living libraries are a whole lot noisier than their traditional counterparts.
I believe in the yin-yang philosophy, which is opposites and balances. If you can believe in that, I talk to the Unified School District kids, I said, you know, in America, kids want to be always high, always happy. Well, if you did not have sadness, you would not know happiness.
How do you feel about individuals that have unprotected sex and I know that they're diagnosed with AIDS? Do you think they should be charged with some type of crime?
Imagine that if tomorrow morning you woke up and your body was that of a man. Your identity inside wouldn't have changed, and you'd feel really uncomfortable and awkward at the very least. Then you might do almost anything to get normal.
Retired psychologist Chris Olmsted was walking past on her way out of jury duty.
I think this is the most marvelous of ideas. I want to be a book. I want it to happen again. There is an old saying that every time a person dies, a library burns. And this so embodies that concept.
The Living Library lasted for 3 hours, and in that time, more than 80 people checked out books. Leandra Price was delighted.
I'm just amazed. All of the talking that's going on, the people that are stopping by, the curiosity that people have, and people are they want to be books now. They want to sit down and talk to people right now.
Living libraries have taken place in 27 countries around the world. Price is sure that Tucson will be hosting more in the future. As participants learned, despite the differences between traditional libraries and living libraries, the same thing holds true. You can't judge a book by its cover. For Arizona Spotlight, this is Laura Markowitz.